This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show for your Tuesday. Matt and Brett today. Susie Strom is going to join us coming up here in a little bit. She is running in 36A, Democrat of the Day. And they got the kickoff. She's got her kickoff coming up here on the 23rd. We'll talk to her about that. You have your usual Minnesota Reformer folks stopping on by, right?
Yeah, Max Nesterak, going to be speaking with him today about some of the pieces he's been writing about unionization at Starbucks, also the latest on Walls Bucks and whether that's going to go through, and a property management company that has not exactly been treating their renters well here in town.
Really? Boy, you couldn't sure tell that from that.
Well, and what a surprise. They're owned by a hedge fund.
Okay, I'm going to share something with you. We inherited a few years back some investments where the people were basically, you know, it was investment in rental properties. And it wasn't our initial investment. And like I said, we inherited it. So we kind of looked around a little bit at it. I got to tell you, it was whenever I would talk with them about this stuff. Because we had to go meet them, obviously, that we had some money tied up in them. And I'd go and sit and talk with them, and it was just – you kind of felt icky. You know, you just – you know, they're talking about, yeah, you know, we got a sledgehammer down the office there, old Marge down there. She doesn't take any – she basically runs people out if they need to be run out and stuff like this. And you're like, ugh. So we got rid of it all. We got rid of it all. Because it was one of those things where, you know, John Oliver said it on Sunday night. And I mentioned his show yesterday when we were talking about this. It's that. And then when he had his show about mobile homes and mobile trailers and stuff like that, and he was talking about these people, their business model is that people suffer. And that is that. And they don't care. And that is just because for them, it's about the money. It's not about humanity. And it is, and it's not everyone. I want to be careful here. I don't want to paint with too wide of a brush, but it is kind of hard, man, there's some of that is just really rough. So, but, I'm looking forward to Max there. I mean, is that a new article he's got coming out here on the Reformer?
Yeah, it's a new one. Yeah. He wrote about it last Friday, but then has some updates on it as well. All right. Some new developments.
I'm going to get to the disturbing testimony today in regards to – there's a lot of things we got to talk about in regards to Trump's attempted overthrow of the U.S. government and you know, the path that they took as they tried to do that. But we have some big news. And if you were listening in the 3 o'clock hour, you heard me on with the Devil's Advocate Radio guys, Devil's Radio out of Madison. We here are shifting some things around. Now, I am still going to be in the afternoon, although I'm going to be 1 hour early. I'm going to start at 3 o'clock and go to 5 o'clock. Devil's Advocate Radio is going to be in at 5, I believe, correct?
That is correct.
And then we have Native Roots Radio, I'm Awake, coming in at 6. That's going to be the new setup. That starts on July 5th. The first hour, I don't know, can we call this good news? I don't know. I think the jury's still out on this one. you are going to be able to listen to me in Madison, Wisconsin, at the fine folks at Devil Radio 92.7 and WTTN 1580 AM, and as well at 101 FM The Shaw and WAUK 1540 AM in Waukesha in Milwaukee area as well. So, yeah, there's that. So we're going to be doing in that. So that 3 o'clock hour is going to be a little bit more kind of regional, national news. We'll talk more about that. 4 o'clock hour, it's my big, sweet, sloppy kiss to this state. Mwah! Lots of tongue. And we, of course, are going to be having that here in the 4 o'clock hour, live and local here in Minneapolis, St. Paul. So it just that's the big news, is that we're going to move an hour earlier. If you are in Madison, if you are in Milwaukee, you're going to be able to listen to an hour of me every day. May God have mercy on your souls. Like I said to Kurt there, it's a howler monkey exhibit without all the dignity. So that's all you need to know. That's the show.
Now you get to make friends with Wisconsin Republicans.
Oh, God. I already know. Do you know? I'm going to save it. I'm going to save it for that first show we do, because I can tell you, I'm going to tell you the two things I'm going to have come down the line. I will save that for the first show I'm doing, because I want to kind of stem it. You don't have to do this. I'll get there. That's coming up July 4th. Now, July 5th, rather. I will say this. We're not going to be on the air. I'm not going to be back on the air until the 5th. Because first of all, around the holiday, the 4th of July holiday, July 1st and July 4th, we're going to have best of shows on for that. I hope you have a nice holiday there. And I'm heading out on vacation here. Who do we all have coming in and filling in for me here during the
We have Gregory Rich doing one show this Thursday, June 23rd. So we'll look forward to that. And then the other days we will have Todd Mickelson filling in. And then we might have one surprise for next Wednesday on a guest host. Still trying to look around, though.
Well, really?
Mm-hmm.
Waylon and Madam? No. That would be awesome. If you can pull that. You get that gig. Waylon and Madam. That would be amazing. No, we don't know who's going to be. Todd, fantastic. Gregory, always top notch, my friend. Looking forward to hearing you guys while you fill on in. Thank you very much. We got Pride Weekend this weekend. There's so many things going on these 2 weeks are huge. Although they canceled the Minneapolis fireworks, man. You hear about that?
Why did they do that?
Apparently the park they fire them off on is under major construction. And, of course, then there's some staffing issues. And I don't think it's fireworks you want to go, hey, you ever light a match before? Yeah, great, get over here. You know, I don't think you want to do that. You're going to have that San Diego thing a few years back. Remember when all the fireworks went off at one? Here you go, whee!
Short-staffed and fireworks in a construction area. What could go wrong with that?
Nothing at all. We don't need a cow this time to start the fire. That's going to be coming up here. The fireworks are not going to be coming up here, but there are going to be a lot of places that have fireworks. Although here's the other problem I'm noticing. We had this, when Sven was on with us last year around the 4th of July, if it's really dry, they can't really fire the things off. And right now, doesn't look like we're going to get a lot of rain between here and July 4th.
Yeah. We had a little rain overnight, but not a ton. We're going to need more than that to get things in good enough shape to be able to light those fireworks off.
Up north, you're going to be able to fire it left and right because it's soaked up there. I mean, all the rivers and all the lakes are top to capacity in the northern part of the state. But here, not so much. So we'll have to see what happens there. But needless to say, I'll keep up online. You want to keep track of me, obviously Todd Mickelson, as well as also Gregory Rich, as well as mystery guests ahoy. That's coming up here filling in for me. I'll keep up with me on the Facebook page, on the Twitter page. I'll post stories and stuff, and you can, you know, mock and ridicule me at your will. And just like normal, Mom, Dad, it's going to be just like normal. See? Nothing's changed. I have no idea. I don't think they know what they're in for. You know, it's like it's going to be this. And no. Okay. Can I just say this? No. I'm not talking sport. I talked a little sports. I talked a little Twins baseball with them because, you know, he said, are you getting ready for football season? I'm not going to talk sports. I'm going to talk a lot of other things, not necessarily politics. But I'm not going to get into with all due respect, I just don't want that show to become that because we've had that happen before where I filled in on some shows in the past and they're rabid sports towns. And I heard you talk about the Yankees and you're like, oh, my God, really? No, it's not. I mean, there's you know, like 500 sports stations across the upper Midwest. Knock yourself out. They're desperate for your calling. They want to chat with you. Here, no, I'm not going to do too much in sports. Just going to let you know. As much, then that might be a deal break for some of them. They might want more Packer talk. I don't know.
The Packer hour, yeah, we're not doing that.
maybe if I could refer to them as like 17th century poets, the effervescent ways of the melancholy nature. Oh, how much they do. Oh, which that was a pass of some sort. But what is a pass? But if not something that we can reminisce about and find great fondness with, you know, that will be the greatest. Oh, you see, that's my show. I stumble accidentally onto most of the stupidity that I do here. But hey, welcome to the party, pal. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. This was, I'm going to spend the rest of this half hour before we get to Democrat of the Day and Susie Strom coming up here. This 1-6 testimony today was pretty remarkable. I mean, it really was remarkable. Russell Rusty Bowers, the Republican Speaker of the Arizona House of Representatives, repeatedly paused in an apparent effort to compose himself during his testimony on Tuesday as he described the consequences of refusing to violate his oath of office by declaring Donald Trump the winner of the 2020 presidential election. Trump and his lawyers were central to the intense pressure campaign on Bowers once it had become apparent that Joe Biden had won several key states. Now, I want to stop and back up here for a quick second. The thing that happened today was we got definitive proof that the president himself was leading the campaign to throw out legitimate election results and install himself as the president of the United States. And we're not talking in the case of Arizona, and we're not talking in the case of Georgia, of Democrats being targeted. They targeted their own party. And these people, once again, I disagree with you politically, but bless you. If not for the fact that you guys made a stand, you basically prevented this country from being overthrown. And there's a few things here that that really kind of are in the back of my mind about some of the stuff that we heard today. But we had today definitive proof. Trump and his lawyers were the people that were behind this attempted overthrow. That's what happened. And might have been coordinating some real nefarious stuff. I'll get to that here in a second. Trump leaned on a number of state officials trying to convince them to state publicly that election fraud had invalidated Biden's win, but they refused. Bowers was among them as he testified at the fourth public hearing held on the House committee investigating January 6th. There was no evidence being presented of any strength, anything that would say to me, you have a doubt, deny your oath. I will not do that, Bowers said of Trump's fraud claims. He said the belief in the Constitution, which he called divinely inspired, is a tenet of his faith. And so for me to do that because someone just asked me to is foreign to my very being, Bowers said, I will not do it. Trump's team argued many times in court that various forms of election fraud had taken place in 2020. The courts, however, repeatedly ruled against them, determining there was no such evidence. And even Giuliani, at one point, they were talking about, Giuliani admitted, oh, yeah, we don't have any evidence it happened, but we don't really. If the point was this, it wasn't about the evidence. It was about creating distrust and vagueness and then letting the courts decide, which is a big thing which raised my eyebrows a lot today. I'll get to that here in a second. Bowers described conversations with Trump's team where he was asked if he could see the evidence that former New York Mayor Giuliani claimed to have. Giuliani said he would produce it but never did. The Arizona lawmaker also pushed back in an effort of Trump's allies to convince him to have hold the vote to decertify the state's slate of electors in order to pro-Trump slate of electors and take their place. Bowers said that John Eastman, the lawyer for Trump, told him, just do it and let the courts sort it out. Bowers recounted his response, you're asking me to do something that's never been done in the history of the United States. At another point, Bowers read a short excerpt from his personal journal, which was written in late 2020 at the request of the committee member Adam Schiff. I do not want to be a winner by cheating. I will not play with laws I swore allegiance to. Bowers read, he explained how his office once received more than 20,000 emails and 10,000 of voicemails and texts from Trump supporters at the time. I'll talk about that, too. The circus, as he referred to the election aftermath, even showed up at his doorstep. Bowers testified that Trump supporters came to his home, upsetting his chronically ill daughter. She died several weeks later. At home, it is the new pattern in our lives to worry about what will happen on Saturdays because we have various groups come by. They have a video panel trucks that video me proclaiming I'm a pedophile and a pervert, a corrupt politician. It was disturbing. It was disturbing. Shortly before the hearing began, Trump released a statement disparaging Bowers, calling him the latest Republican in name only to play along with the Unselect Committee, his nickname for the House panel. Trump claimed that Bowers told him in November 2020 the election was rigged and that Trump had won Arizona. He concluded that apparently he concluded with an apparent threat. Bowers should hope there's not a tape of his conversation. Under oath, Bowers hit back. He said that he did not He did have a conversation with the president. That certainly isn't it. Anywhere, anyone, anytime that has said, I said the election was rigged, that would not be true. The House Committee investigating the Capitol attack is expected to hold another hearing today as the continues its inquiry. There also came on by and was some very disturbing testimony of the harassment that Trump supporters were giving to, election officials in Georgia, where they were even trying to storm into a grandmother's house to claim a citizen's arrest. I alluded to this with Crute when I was on his show earlier. At this point, you are going to need to have at least 100 Republicans fall on a sword to keep Trump out of jail. There, you just are going to have to. And don't get me wrong, I think there's a lot of Republicans who are willing to say, I'll go to jail to keep him safe. I guarantee you there are. And I think most of the people, there's a lot of people that are involved in this. But there's undeniable crimes here. And some of the stuff that you heard discussed today was just bizarre. Let's take a break. Come back. I'll get into more of this. And the lingering questions, which were not necessarily addressed today, but became fairly clear at the full extent of what these guys were trying to do. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. The 1-6 hearing, as I mentioned, what we learned today, I mean, Ron Johnson was involved with the fake electors and was apparently had his staff. I mean, I'm sure that Johnson's staff member will be one of these people that falls on a sword from him. He knew nothing of it. I was just trying to do it myself. I was the bad guy. Don't point at the senator.
That's already released a statement saying that, essentially.
Oh, it was the staffer. It wasn't him?
Yeah, it was. He had no involvement at all.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
You lying piece of crap, Johnson. You are a traitor to America. You horrible person. You, oh my God, you are a traitor. I knew it. Oh, Ron Johnson. I am going to love being in Wisconsin with you. You're going to be my new snuggle buddy. Who wants to spoon? Oh, man. Gosh, I thought he was white, but I didn't realize he was that white. He's like translucent. Yikes, powder. All right, so... God, I can't wait to take that clown down. Oh, that's going to be fun. Anyway, you have him. How about Michigan? Did she see the thing about Michigan? The fake electors, because the rule in Michigan is you have to vote in the state capitol. So they tried to pull a Home Alone 2 where the guys hid out in the toy store. And they were going to that. They apparently told the head of the GOP in Wisconsin or in Michigan, we're going to hide in the state capitol and then make our vote. And they said, how stupid are you? Really? You're going to do this? No. Unbelievable. No, there's going to be a lot of people that have to fall on swords. They're going to be falling on swords. They're going to have to not only keep Trump safe, to keep guys like Ron Johnson safe. To keep all these fake electors, these Republican leaders in Arizona and in Georgia that were pushing this, keep them safe. Who was that? Biggs, Representative Biggs was out there trying to push this. It's clear that the Republican Party, high members of the Republican Party, were very well aware of this attempt to overthrow the democracy of the United States of America. They weren't exactly pushing it, but they were being asked to help out any way they can, although they kind of downplayed their role in it. It is just disturbing. A lot of Republicans knew what was going on. We also have to talk a little bit about two things that came to light. Was one, this they keep pointing out that Giuliani and Eastman kept saying the courts will take care of this. Which really leads me to ask the question, was the Supreme Court in on this? Because eventually it would have gotten to the Supreme Court. And eventually the Supreme Court would have had to have ruled, oh, well, there's either enough mystery about this, even though there's no evidence of it, that we're going to go with the fake electors or just throw out these states and let Donald Trump take the office again. Or they were going to have to go something to the effect of you know, they basically we're not going to find a lower court to rule in favor of them and then just not get in the way of it. So that was going to be kind of the mentality that they had. I mean, it kind of seems like this was set up to where the Supreme Court was going to find for Trump. And Eastman said, let the courts, and Giuliani said, let the courts deal with it. We don't have evidence. Just get it to the courts. Get it to the courts. Let them decide. And they and by the way, it should be noted that they went to the courts over and over and over and over again, and the courts kept throwing them out, and they couldn't get an appeal. So they were desperately trying to get a state authority to do this for them. They were desperately trying to do this. And that is, I think, the legal argument they were going to make, is that it's not our job to get in the way of the secretary or the speaker of the Arizona House or the Georgia Secretary of State. Those are state legislators. They have the right to make this decision. And that might have been the way that, and we don't know. There might have even been discussions with Supreme Court justices, with the Trump campaign, saying, you got to give us some ability to give some teeth to this, because we can't just rule this way. We have to have something. So you have to get that there. Which leads to the other part, which was clear, is that whenever a Republican went against Trump and his demands in this case, anytime a Republican did, they're all of a sudden out of the blue, like that, instantaneously, was this massive mob of furious, extremist, pro-Trump lunatics that would descend on these communities. Which brings me to an interesting question. It's clear. Did you ever see the QAnon documentary? It was on HBO, I believe. Did you ever see that one?
I don't think I have,
With Ron Watkins and stuff? You need to go watch that. Because it's clear that he was there. There seemed to be some discussions going on with Trump people and him. And by the end of it, he kind of admits at the end that he is Q. At the end of the whole thing, he kind of admits he's Q. That's at least the strong implication. He kind of lets it slip and he starts laughing at the end of it. But so it was a twofold thing, where on one side they were trying to pressure these guys into do this, even though there was no legal basis for it. On the other side, they had all this violent group come out of nowhere. And I'm wondering if that's what happened, is someone within the Trump campaign said, we need to put a little extra pressure on the guys in Arizona and in Georgia and all these other states. So get in the line with your Q dudes and see if we can send over a group of concerned citizens. Yeah, that sort of thing. And it sure seems like that's what was going on. Because it really is this coordinated attack that came from this argument that these legal people were making with the help of Trump. They were trying to make this legal argument that had no basis in reality. And then they were either threatening to kill these people or at the very intimidate them into joining their cause. That's clearly that what was going on. Which brings me back to this point. The problem here is not the Democrats. The problem here is the moderate Republicans. Moderate Republicans, you need to listen to me. This isn't you. You know this isn't you. You know this is not you. You're not out there running that the Republican Speaker of the Arizona House is a pedophile. You're not the person out there running into people's grandmother's homes, threatening citizens' arrest. That's not you. But when you go into the ballot box and you keep voting for that, well, you're enabling that. You're the enablers at this point. You're going to have to make a stand. It's not a presidential election, not at all. But I get it. For some of you, it's impossible for you to take the idea and voting for a Democrat. Fine, then just don't vote. But if you keep blindly voting Republican, the people in charge of that party are not moderates anymore. They're extremists who seem to be intent on trying to overthrow the government again. And if you're a moderate Republican and you keep voting to go along with it, then you're the enabler. That is what you're voting for. And I know that's not you. You and I do not agree on a lot of things politically, how you fund parks or, you know, Medicare availability. You and I can have disagreements about that and discussions. But this is not, whether or not America should exist as a country is not up for debate. And that's where we're at right now. So you desperately, desperately need to make a stand and say, no, that's not my Republican Party. Because until you guys do that, we're just going to keep living in this nightmare. Because you're the enablers. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Susie Strom, when we do come back, 36A as Democrat of the Day. We'll talk with her. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. The Matt McNeil Show, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Democrat of the Day, we head to 36A. Susie Strom is kind enough to join us here. She is running for that House seat and kind enough to take some time today to talk about her campaign. Hi, Susie. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well. I'm glad. I mean, you were, I was trying to get you on, I think it was 2 weeks ago. You weren't feeling that well. I'm glad you're feeling better.
Oh, well, thank you.
I also have to ask, okay, I was U.S. Army. You are in the Army Reserves, right?
I am now, yes. I was active duty for about 5 years, and now I'm doing the Army Reserves. So
I have to know, as a specialist, I have to know, what was your rank there so I know if I need to be saluting here?
I'm currently a major.
Oh, yes. Big salute. Hello, sorry.
Oh, no.
Thank you very much for your service. I the fact that I can appreciate it being in the military myself, U.S. Army from 88 to 92. I was in Gulf One, and I always enjoy chatting with anyone that has served because it obviously is such an important element of American society and American life. So thank you very much for your service.
You as well.
First of all, let's find out a little bit more information. Who exactly is Susie Strom?
So I am a mom of two young daughters. I'm an attorney, U.S. Army veteran and current reservist. And I'm also a Korean-American adoptee. I grew up in Coon Rapids and currently living with my family in North Oaks. Mm-hmm.
What, obviously 36A, now this is the new 36A, it's kind of the north of 96, North Oaks, kind of the northern part of White Bear Lake. What are the other communities? Is it Lionel Lakes is up that way?
Yes, Lionel Lakes. It's also Centerville and Circle Pines and a little bit of White Bear Township.
What, when you saw this new map, because of the redistricting here, what made you say, you know what, I'm going to run for that seat?
Well, being in the military, I haven't ever considered running before, but then I was approached by a member of the Senate district, and I see this as a really good opportunity to continue serving others and the community, the state and our nation. So, you know, that's why I'm running.
Well, that's easy to see, too. And I can appreciate as well. And something that I've not run for office, but I've been involved in city council and planning and zoning committees and stuff like that, because you can offer something like that. And, you know, you do bring the leadership. I mean, you're a major in the military. I can tell you right now, major is, you know, you've got abilities, you've got talent. That is something that we, you know, clearly desperately need in whether that's in St. Paul or just in our regular society. And I think that that's a wonderful thing that you're sharing that with us.
Oh, well, thank you.
Let's get down to some issues here. Now, obviously, I'm going to say this. I'm going to presume you're pretty big on veterans issues at this point. I don't mind bringing that up to begin with here, because obviously we need to make sure the veterans who served our country and their families are being taken care of to the utmost extent.
Yes, that is very important. And, you know, if elected, I would definitely like to work on veterans issues to, you know, help and, you know, thank the people that are serving and have served our nation.
And I think as well, it's one of the things which always breaks my heart is that we have a lot of people when it comes time to send troops into battle or send troops into a conflict zone, that there's always lots of flag waving and ribbons around trees. But when they come back and they need those needed services, whether that's at a state level, that's at a federal level, there's a lot of people that don't want to put the funding in on that. And I think having – you know, this is one thing that I love about Governor Walz too, with his military experience. He gets it. He gets – okay, here's where we have the – we need to fix these things. And obviously from your perspective, that would – you know, being able to find those gaps in the coverage and the needs that the veterans have in the state of Minnesota, that's tantamount to having a functioning system that's taking care of the veterans.
Yes, I would agree with that. Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about education here. You're obviously a mom. I imagine that's something that is your, how old are your kids, if I can ask?
Yeah, 1 and 4.
So yeah, you're just starting on the road. Mine are 20, almost 18 and 15. So I've kind of been through this too myself. But you get there, you know, you're starting on this education. Obviously, it becomes a much bigger issue, and you've got to pay attention. And let's be honest here, Republicans haven't done a lot for education in Minnesota. They clearly didn't do a lot this last session. You know, the DFL, we need the DFL in there to make sure education stays strong in Minnesota.
Yeah, I definitely hope, you know, that I can be part of that push to fully support, you know, the education system and make sure that our kids are thriving, you know, and it's very important.
What are some of the things within the education system that you would like to make sure you either, you know, address, fix, or enhance?
I mean, like, after, you know, with coming through the pandemic, I think, you know, the kids need support, and we need to make sure that we can just have programming in place to help with some of, you know, with kids that have, you know, there's been lots of struggles within the school, to put it mildly. So I think we need to make sure that we are just continuing to support and making sure that that they're able to.
The counseling is there. The mental health services are there.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. Yes.
Well, and it's interesting because this is something that's becoming, I think, a lot more apparent, the crossover between education and health and human services, where we have this, you know, a clear need. And I've seen it myself. I had my oldest was at the beginning of the pandemic, and, you know, it was tough for them. And then I have two girls that have gone through and had to have remote learning. There is a mental strain that happened even within the best families and the best units with the best support there. These kids, this was such a unique and stressful experience. It definitely has impacted a lot. And I think we definitely need to look at expanding the mental health opportunities available to kids.
Yes, we do. And just making sure that, you know, because Minnesota does have a good education system, so we need to make sure that, you know, it continues to be strong and that we're supporting it.
You're big on the environment. As a matter of fact, you even have some nice endorsements on that level. Talk about that. I mean, you're in an area. I was remiss, if I remember correctly. They wanted to tap a few lakes in your district to refill up White Bear Lake. At least that was one of the plans initially. You know, we are having this interesting struggle as the community grows, as the city grows. You know, you've got – your district is a true wonderful environmental bastion up there in the North Metro. You got to make sure that the growth that happens is not detrimental to the quality of environment that you have up there.
I agree, and it's a balance, and it's a, you know, a complex issue, but we need to put in the work to make sure that, you know, future generations have the natural resources and, you know, clean air and clean water, you know, that we enjoy now. So we need to continue to protect and conserve.
And it goes even beyond that because, I mean, I don't know if you saw the stories of these algae blooms, which is, you know, it's kind of one that's a sign of the climate change, is that, you know, it's getting so hot that we get these algae blooms, which basically make a lake almost useless. You can't really go in there. You really can't touch the water. You got to be careful with it. I mean, we have to have some serious discussions on if we're going to save Minnesota's lakes and make sure that we still can appreciate them and use them as we've all have through our lives, that there has to be some strong discussions on how do you preserve the environment in Minnesota.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, we we need to do that in a bipartisan way because it's important to everyone.
Well, and it is. The problem is, and I have no problem pointing this out. I mean, this last election cycle, you dealt with Republicans in the Senate who they don't even want you to be able to buy an electric car in Minnesota. I mean, forget about whether or not you think electric cars are good or not. They're so committed to not changing, you know, fossil fuel usage that they don't even want people to buy an electric car. And that's why, I mean, we have to have the DFL hold that house and get these seats, because we have to have the common sense side of the argument sometimes show up for the discussion at least.
Well, I'm sure going to work hard to hopefully be part of the House and, you know, contribute to protecting the environment and our education system. Mm-hmm.
Healthcare as well. That's another one of your main issues you'd like to talk a little bit about. Discuss with us once again, and joining us, Democrat of the Day, is Susie Strom, 36A. Talk a little bit about healthcare. And I mean, obviously, we're in a very different world. We've got the vaccines now are available for 6 month to 5 year olds, and they're actually recommending people get them now, because especially before the school year starts up. We have had a nice reminder that we need to have accessible and quality healthcare for all, yet we still have a lot of areas there we need to work on to make sure that everyone does get that accessibility.
Yeah, I mean, like, and such a relief with the vaccine. It's like, it's been a hard road to navigate for parents with like young children, you know, and making sure that we're, you know, balancing, protecting, and also like that they're, you know, getting socialization and stuff. You know, with healthcare, I think the pandemic has definitely shown the difficulties and just like access and you know, and affordability. So, I mean, I think it's definitely an area that we need to look at and make sure that access and affordability is there for Minnesotans.
You also talk about something which is also, I think, is incredibly important. We've had discussions here about insulin. But we have essential medications and supplies. I'm firmly of the mindset you should not have a case where a life-saving medication costs more than a car in a year, shouldn't cost more than your rent in any given month. Yet with insulin, we've seen the insulin prices skyrocket, and they basically it's not affordable for a lot of people. We've done some things to try to address this, but we can't have a society where the life-saving medications are the equivalent of a carrot in front of the mule, where you basically are you're putting people on an internal debt just because they want to have, you know, for goodness sakes, a life to be able to live. That should not be a curse into bankruptcy, in my mind.
I would definitely agree. Yes, sir.
The district up there, this is one of those seats, 36A, where it's kind of one of those things I want to make sure I point out is that this is one of those seats where if at all the Democrats are going to control the Minnesota House, and I think they've got a good chance of doing this, 36A is one of those seats we definitely want to have come in on the DFL column here. And Susie, you've got a big kickoff coming up here, I believe it on the 23rd, right?
Yes, indeed. Yes. So, I'm having my campaign kickoff, and it's going to be from 5:30 to 7:30 PM. And that's, just over at, Sucker Lake Regional Park. So
I've been there. It's a very nice regional park. Very well done. I've been hiking a lot of parks the last few years because that's one of the things you could do during the pandemic. What time is that at Sucker Lake Regional Park?
It's from 5:30 to 7:30 PM.
5:30 to 7:30. That is on the Thursday, the 23rd. You stop on by, see Susie up there. And then as well, I think the important thing, Susie, here is I want to try to get everyone out there. If you're listening to me right now, if you're in one of these safe DFL districts, that's great. Support your local DFLer by all means. Don't take any race for granted. But if you're in one of those seats where there's not even a Republican running, get up to 36A, donate, volunteer, door knock, you know, phone bank, help out Susie Strom in that district and help that become a district for the DFL. If people would like to get more information about your campaign, Susie, where should they go?
They can go to my website at stromformn.com, and there's more information about the campaign kickoff on there as well.
Strom, S-T-R-O-M, 4-F-O-R-M-N.com. Head to the webpage, volunteer, donate if you can, and help Susie up in 36A. Democrat of the day, Susie Strom. Susie, I really appreciate the time. Thank you very much. All my best, and congratulations on the kickoff coming up here on Thursday.
Thank you so much, sir. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, no, you don't call me sir. I'm just a specialist. Oh, excellent to you, Major. Thank you very much for your service, of course. Susie Strom is kind enough to join us as Democrat of the Day. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Once again, Susie Strom, kickoff tomorrow, 36A, Sucker Lake Park. I've been up there. That was one of the parks I hit. Yeah, gosh, how many parks did I've actually worn through two pairs of sneakers just in 2 years, walking in all these parks.
You actually have a list of every park you've been to. That'd be kind of cool to have.
I stopped keeping track. What it got to be, everyone was like, where are all these parks at? And I got a map, and quite literally made the map, and it was a pretty detailed map, but it was so many dots, you couldn't tell where anything was.
Oh, yeah. So, you need sub-maps to be able to zoom in and see
where you're doing plat maps, okay? I'm not going to do that. Here's Matt McNeil's map book of all the parks I've been to. No, that's not going to happen. But no, that's actually a really nice park. And that whole district up there, if you've been up there, I remember when I was a kid, we drive up north to go to the cabin or that direction, and you go up that way, and you get past Lexington, and it just seemed like there was nothing up there. That is just growing like crazy up there now.
Yeah, that area definitely has. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Lionel
Very
Lakes.
Explosive growth, yeah.
Lionel Lakes, Lake Elmo over, that's another area that as well, just these areas that, they're just, you can't build fast enough up there. And so, I'm glad that you got someone who's concerned about the environment that's going to go in there. Plus, I'm going to just say this. A major in the military, we need a major over in St. Paul. So go help if you can. The kickoff tomorrow – or excuse me, not tomorrow. It's Thursday. Thursday is the kickoff, the 23rd, 5:30 to 7:30 for Susie Strom and 36A. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Some of the lines from today's – we were talking about this earlier, the January 6th hearing that went on today. We didn't see any evidence of fraud in the Fulton County episode. This was from Bill Barr. And once again, Barr, not exactly a moderate, not exactly a decent human being, but his testimony has been brutal on Trump. He continues to be a star witness in the January 6th committee. Barr finally rejects the idea pushed by Trump that some of his lawyers, that thousands of illegal votes were cast in Fulton County, which contains the city of Atlanta. You notice where all the fraudulent votes come where the higher minority population is. Isn't that funny how Republicans always say that? Each of these efforts to overturn the election is independently serious. Each deserves attention both by Congress and the Department of Justice, says Liz Cheney. Who she's right, Merrick Garland. God, if Garland just drops a ball on this one, I'll tell you. I'm going to be honest with you. After what we have seen, if Merrick Garland's Department of Justice does not put this, fix this and start prosecuting people, then I think you're going to lose complete – the country's going to lose complete faith in Joe Biden and his administration. I mean, you got to file charges here. You cannot just go to a focus group and say, 16 Republicans said they might think about voting for us if we don't do anything. They're not going to vote for you, so go and do the right damn thing. The system held but barely, said Representative Adam Schiff. He's never, as he said, that was an important statement. Never, Bauer said when he was asked if he ever was provided with any proof of their claims there had been widespread fraud in the state. And Bauer's kept saying that numerous times. They kept, we'll get you the evidence. We'll get you the evidence. Because they were saying in Arizona that it was dead people voting, and they had the evidence of thousands of dead people voted and evidence of all these undocumented Americans voting. And they said, well, what are their names? I'll get you the names. Well, where are their names? I'll get you the names. And he's like, no, I got to have the names. here's this might be the line of the day from Giuliani. This is according to testimony from Bowers. And multiple people heard him say this. Multiple people heard Rudy Giuliani say this. We've got a lot of theories. We just don't have the evidence. Seriously.
Wonder if he had a few before that one, too.
Is there any evidence the bottle was full? I don't see any booze anywhere. It was empty when I got here. God. Has any human being he was beloved in this country after 9/11.
Oh, I mean, people thought he was like a shoo-in to be the Republican nominee in 2008.
Oh, he
was hugely popular. Absolutely.
He's a laughingstock now.
Yeah.
He's a laughingstock. I don't want to be a winner by cheating, says Bowers. I thought that was good. When the right answer comes out, you'll be praised, Donald Trump. Wow. The numbers are the numbers. The numbers don't lie, said Raffensperger. That was an important one. During a 67-minute phone call with Trump, Raffensperger offered to send the then-president a link to a local TV station that directly debunked Trump's claims that suitcases of ballots had been brought into the space where the evidence was being counted. Trump responded by saying he had a much better link. Here's the quote. I don't care about the link. I have a much better link. He is a mentally compromised man-child. He is. I'm not the loser. You're the loser. I mean, isn't that what that is? I don't want your link. I got a better link. My link is so much better than yours. Oh, it's so much better. It's gold-plated link. He's just unbelievable. I need 11,000 votes. Give me a break. The flippant inherent of the request, which came from Trump to Raffensperger, is titanic. Trump seems to think it's nothing for him to find enough ballots. This is, once again, they were trying to pressure elected officials into doing this because then they would be would have an argument to say, see, the elected official did this, not me. And then they would have the ability to try to take it to the legal court there through that way. I haven't been anywhere at all. Former election worker Wandre Shea Moss. Moss, who along with her mother became scapegoats for false election fraud claims pushed by Trump and Giuliani. Giuliani alleged that they can be seen on tape exchanging USB drives. Moss said today their mother was passing her a ginger mint. The toll of that being singled out by the former president of the United States has taken on Moss, and her mother was brutal to hear. Moss tearfully recounted how she doesn't go out any longer. She's gained weight. She's lost her job as an election worker, and then she clearly loved. It was hard to listen to, but necessary to listen to. She was the one that was saying that people had busted into grandma's house trying to do a citizen's arrest on her. All these people need to burn in hell. All of them need to burn in hell. They all do. Let's take a break. Come on back. Hour two is up next. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We have a few things we got to talk about. First of all, we're going to be out of Pride this weekend, right?
Indeed, all weekend long, yes.
Nice. It's one of my favorite festivals. I mean, like I said, we got 2 weeks here where just so many things jam-packed in together in this town. It's just amazing. Pride this, of course, it's been Pride Month, but the main festivities are this upcoming weekend.
Yeah, this weekend, and you can find us out there. I'm going to see if I can get you the exact location.
Okay, while you're getting that, I want to also make sure I give a promotion here to our cooking friend, Terry John Zila, who, if you've not been to Hepcat Coffee over in St. Paul, amazing. The cherry Danish are the best I have ever had in my life. They're amazing. He's going to be doing a live feed. Twin Cities Live is going to go over there and do their show. They're doing a live feed with Hepcat Coffee on Wednesday for the whole show. For Twin Cities Live, I'm not sure exactly the hours on that, but 3 p.m. on Channel 5. So Hepcat Coffee, Terry John Zila over in St. Paul. Enjoy. Bon appetit. That is going to be tomorrow at Hepcat Coffee. I might have to be up there for that. Where are we located at Pride?
Rather than give you the booth number, just go by the beer garden. You'll find us there.
We're by the beer. We're over there. We'll be fine. It's going to be a blast. It is absolutely going to be a blast. Look forward to seeing everyone out there, and happy Pride to everyone out there. We don't want to necessarily bury the major story here, which is we're moving the show a little bit here. Not like this. I'm over here now. See? You need to move the microphone. No.
Yeah, we got to talk into the mic.
Okay, there we go. See, we didn't move it that way. No, we're actually, like Doctor Who, we're going through time. Actually, we'll just move it to an hour earlier. We are going to be live starting on July 5th, the day after the 4th of July. Enjoy your fireworks, okay? Have a good time. Then come on back. The Matt McNeil Show will be on from 3 until 5 in the afternoon. Devil's Radio comes on at 5 until 6. Native Roots Radio is going to be on 6 until 7. We'll be 3 to 5. And here's the fun thing. That 3 o'clock hour, I get to infiltrate other stations. That's right. We'll be broadcasting live in the 3 o'clock hour over at 101 FM The Shaw and WAUK 540 AM in Waukesha and down in the Mad Town itself, Madison. Devil Radio 92.7 and WTTN 1580 AM. I'll be broadcasting live my show in the 3 o'clock hour. There, 4 o'clock hour, it's all love for Minneapolis, St. Paul. So make sure you're with us starting on July 5th for that. I'm looking forward to that. That should be a lot of fun. It's going to be exciting. I think they're going to like me because I am just, let's face it, I've made a lot of Republicans really, really mad, and I really enjoy doing it. Because did it hurt your feelings, Ron Johnson? Did it hurt your feelings? I get to go after Robin Voss.
I was going to say, don't forget the legislative guys. Yeah, they're
Voss,
just bad.
You are scum. You are. I know you like to you like to say you're a good guy. You are a horrible human being that's tried to overthrow the. He was the guy that was pushing this whole. You know, fake electors crap. Oh, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? You and I are going to have some fun. 952-946-6205. We haven't had an episode in a long time of Squatching with Matt, where we, you know, it's where you get your all your Squatch news, as in Squatch meaning Sasquatch, Bigfoot. We haven't had – I always said back when we were talking about Squatching with Matt that if I'm going to do this, considering there hasn't been a damn show that's gotten any physical violence, why am I setting up out in the middle of the woods? You know, we're going to go squatching over at Disney World. I'm going to go on Space Mountain and see if any squatches are on there, all right? That's where I do my show. I'm all of America. I'll go to the food court there. Let's go try the Knopf Knopf Grill, see if there's Sasquatch over there. No?
I can loan you some old cameras, too. That'll get you really grainy footage of
Do you guys not have cell phones? I mean, it's like even the new ones, my gosh, you can take a picture in the middle of the night and you get a nice clean one.
Yeah.
No, you
not,
guys.
Not when you're getting Sasquatch on there, though.
Apparently, you found the photography equipment from the Civil War. All right, here we go. Not quite Halloween, but we have a Bigfoot sighting. Bigfoot is a big topic of conversation year-round. While there has never been definitive evidence of the creature living or breathing, there has been somewhat convincing encounters with people all over, including the Twin Ports and beyond. Those Twin Ports, yes. I know they're having trouble with the mayor, but come on, man. Oh, no, sorry. In fact, late last year, a video surfaced of a possible Bigfoot sighting in northern Wisconsin. A duck hunter in the Powell Marsh area shared a video and photos of an alleged encounter where you might roll your eyes at the counter. He is a senior investment manager who wanted to remain anonymous, which means he has nothing to gain from sharing details of the sighting. Another Bigfoot video has skeptics rethinking their belief it surfaced. A video came from Michigan, courtesy of trail cameras. The hunter he caught footage shared with Animal Planet. They were convinced they had left the next day to investigate. And by the way, I should mention, we have trail cameras catching bears in the metro area and coyotes and stuff. You got trail cameras all over the place. I don't think the Squatches know. Oh, hey, look, a trail camera. No, they're not gonna. They're just gonna be, you know, be sitting there, kind of get us the back view, scratch his caboose a little bit, and head on. That's what you're going to get if they're out there running around. Now we've come across a Bigfoot sighting that I've never read about before. The sighting is close to home. It was reportedly happened in Ely, Minnesota. The sighting happened in the fall of 2020, but didn't come across until recently. The sighting was shared with the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization, which dives into each and every sighting shared on the website. According to the specific report, a sighting happened on November 9th, 2020, was submitted by a person who saw it in December of the same year. Like I mentioned, happened just about 5 miles west of Ely. The sighting happened around 11 in the morning. Well, the weather was clear, although raining early in the morning. The sighting happened westbound on 169. That's a tough traffic zone out there. If you're familiar with the area, it's just past the Twin Lakes Road sign. Oh, okay, so it's right there. I know exactly where that is, actually. So what did the creature look like? The reporting party said it was about 6 to 6 feet, 5 inches tall. Well, that's kind of short for a Squatch, isn't it?
Yeah, usually they're a little taller than that.
They're usually not a point guard. Sorry. So 6 to 6 5 foot, starting from the Yukon, your starting point guard, Squatch. Don't give freaking Disney any ideas. Do not. No. We do not need a basketball-playing Sasquatch. We do not need...
Sasquatch on ice on the way.
The mighty Squatch. no ideas. What did the creature look like? 6 feet, 5 inches tall, was walking on two legs like a human, was so big it was able to cross the entire road in just a few steps. I'm going to just say this. It's been the pandemic. Are you sure? Yeah, someone just didn't need to get out and stretch their legs. I mean, it's November, so the mosquitoes are down finally. The person who reported the sighting was in the car with their family who did not see the creature because everything happened so fast. It should be noted their area that had the sighting happen is very dense forest, which would be prime conditions for a Bigfoot sighting. No. Okay, wait a second here. It's Ely. If this thing doesn't want to be seen, it's not going dumpster diving behind the Bear Center, for God's sakes. It can go in any freaking direction and never be seen. And I'm going to take a guess. If it does exist and it does live out there, there's plenty to eat out there for it. So I don't think it needs to go ahead. The Arby's has just opened up over there. All right.
Maybe that's why he's only 6 to 6 feet, 5 tall. He's not eating well.
Why, though? I mean, he's out there, though. He loves those beef and cheddars. the person who ran the BFRO Pro website, so the Times spoke to the woman who was reported the sighting. She said it's credible. It works as a home health care nurse in a nearby county. She was the only area that day to visit relatives. She cleared up a lot of questions. One might be about the sighting. Could be a human that was dressed in a costume. Could have been a hunter as it was hunting season. She doesn't rule out anything, but it does stand from what she saw. She was so shook that when her husband urged her to turn around and try to spot it again, she wouldn't. Last year, I learned about another Bigfoot sighting. Then I'm in Wisconsin, a local in Milwaukee. They saw it in Milwaukee. For God's sakes, what are you getting, a beer? Oh, man, have you ever been to Sausage Fest down there? Amazing. I'd come out of the woods. I'd come out of the woods for that. Come on. All right. What is going to be proven first, Squatches or Mike Lindell's claims? I don't know which one, but I'm getting tired of the tune in next week and we might have some evidence because everybody's got a phone.
That organization you were talking about that tracks these things, that's got to be the most thankless job you could ever have. All right, verifying this. Nope, not Sasquatch.
No.
Every single time.
Well, no, but or else it's the other way. Oh, you saw it. It looked like a squirrel. Could be a Squatch. Oh, I think we need to write this down as a Squatch. Because it was, how big was it? 3 inches tall. It had a little gray fur, and it was climbing a tree eating nuts. That sounds like a Squatch to me. It could be the other way, where everything is a Squatch. For goodness sakes. You got trail cameras. You got planes flying all over the place. You got people flying into lakes left and right. I'm going to guess it was some dude out for a walk. And, yeah, it might be a little scary and stuff like that, but the reality we got so many people looking for these things. We got so many trail cameras. It's not like it was in the 1800s where there's large swaths of territory where no one goes into. You know, people are everywhere. Every lake in the state has got people on it. Everywhere, even in, like, the boundary waters. How many people are going up in the boundary waters, for goodness sakes? And we're not having these things. Why would you? It was too late for Blueberry Festival in Ely. I mean, I can understand that. I mean, that draws me up there every year. Delightful, delicious blueberries. Anytime. Oh, I'm going to say no. I know Bakken's going to call up and just get upset with me. I'm just okay. I need more credibility. I need more than just, I think it was something. Don't get my hopes up. Now, Milwaukee, I think we could do a show out in Milwaukee, Squatching with Matt, seeing if we could find the Milwaukee.
Well, the Milwaukee, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Down right by the lake? Oh, might as well. Apparently, Squatches are coming into downtown Milwaukee now.
It's probably a little more social, too, than the one up in Ely, I'm guessing.
Oh, my God. Is it going to be a Packers fan, though? I don't mind you being a Sasquatch, but come on, enough about Rodgers, right? We're going to win it all. 952-946-6215. Oh, and on that magical note, hey, we got Max joining you right here for your interview, right?
Indeed, we have Max Nestriak coming up right now of the Minnesota Reformer, filling in for Patrick today as we're going to be talking about, we were just mentioning Walls Bucks and how that could possibly be coming back as a proposal. And then we'll be talking, too, about unionization at Starbucks and then landlords not treating tenants well, especially when they're owned by hedge funds. So that's what we got on tap.
I should have never mentioned Packer Squatch. I should not have mentioned. I just see a Sasquatch with a Packers jersey out there in the woods. It's going to happen.
That could just be a normal Packers
actually,
fan.
Yeah, that's, I think there's a lot of mystery there. It's Brett Johnson right here on AM 950.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Brett Johnson with you here on a Tuesday afternoon. Well, as usual on Tuesdays, we visit with someone from the Minnesota Reformer. And today we're joined by Max Nestriak as we'll be talking through some of the latest stories that have been in the Reformer, including the potential for a special session, also unionization at Starbucks around Minnesota, and a landlord in Minnesota that is facing accusations that they are not providing proper maintenance. Max, thanks so much for joining me on the show today. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, Brett. Always a pleasure.
Absolutely. So let's start off talking about the potential for a special session and the return of Walls checks, because Governor Tim Walls wants what he calls a 15-minute special session to give individuals about $1,000 and families about $2,000, which would use about half of the state's current budget surplus. So, Max, even though Governor Walls is calling for a 15-minute special session, it can be a little bit more complicated on that, being that it is technically, once a special session is called, it is the legislature that is up to deciding when it is adjourned. So it could make things a little bit complicated if a special session does get called, correct?
That's right. As you point out, the governor has the power to call the special session, but the legislature has the power to adjourn one. Usually the governor would have the deal kind of decided beforehand before he called a special session, so there aren't surprises. He is saying there could be a 15-minute special session. That might be hyperbole. I talked to Speaker Melissa Hortman about it, and she said, well, I guess it's possible if we suspended the rules to not have a bill heard each day for 3 days. Otherwise, we can only do it in 3 days.
So how are Democrats and DFLers responding to the idea of bringing back Walls checks? Because if I remember earlier this year, they weren't necessarily opposed to the idea of having these checks, but the DFL did seem a little bit cool to it. So how are they responding to the idea now of trying to go back and issuing these types of checks to taxpayers here in Minnesota?
Yeah, that's right. When I asked Speaker Hortman about it, she said that she has not yet brought it to her caucus, which she would want to do, but she thinks there would be support for it. As gas prices continue to rise, as food prices continue to rise, there is pressure from voters and a real need, especially among moderate income Minnesotans, for some relief for the inflation that's happening. But your listeners will probably know that last week, Walls and Hortman came out and said negotiations are over on a special session. Republican Senate Majority Leader Jeremy Miller refuses to compromise. He's not working with us, so it sounds like it's off the table. Of course, Republicans blame Democrats, too, saying they were trying to negotiate in good faith. So some finger-pointing back and forth about why they can't get to the finish line on all this outstanding work for funding education, for tax cuts, for potential Walls checks.
So talking now about the GOP response, I know Jeremy Miller, among other Senate Republicans, have been cool to the idea of bringing in a special session. Has that position changed, or are they still largely against the idea of bringing lawmakers back to St. Paul?
Yeah, when I asked for comment, they said, look, we already passed tax cuts for Minnesotans in the Senate, and those would continue and provide relief. They call it relief. Long into the future, because these are permanent tax cuts, not one-time tax rebates. And so to me, it is basically like, well, you had your chance. So it's, I haven't heard anything more from them about some desire to come back just to do one-time rebates when Senate Republicans say they want permanent tax cuts.
Speaking with Max Nesterak, he is the deputy editor of the Minnesota Reformer, as we're talking through some of the stories that they've been working on in the Reformer for the past few days. I want to move on to a different story that you've been writing about, and this has to do with Haven Brooks Homes. Haven Brooks Homes is one of the largest private landlords in Minnesota, and renters marched on Progress Residential, which is the new property management company for Haven Brooks, and asked to freeze rent, provide restitution to tenants, pay for moving expenses for tenants who need to move, and offer tenants the first right to purchase should they sell their portfolio. So what are some of the problems that tenants say they've been experiencing at Haven Brooks Homes?
So residents at Haven Brooks Homes, which owns an estimated 600 mostly single-family homes across the state, really run the gamut of anything that you could think of that would go wrong with a house. There's people who complain about mold, leaking pipes, electrical problems, pest infestations, lead paint. So, you know, hazardous materials, asbestos. So it's a really broad swath of complaints that residents have, and saying they've asked and demanded the company fix these problems for months and to no avail.
And this is not the first time that Haven Brooks has faced these types of allegations and issues, correct? Because if I remember correctly, this is Attorney General Keith Ellison that filed a lawsuit against them too as well back a few months ago.
That's right. So about a year or two ago, the residents began organizing with a tenants' rights group called Inquilinos Unidos, Renters United for Justice, and they started getting together to work together to demand that the company make changes. And they brought their concerns to the Attorney General, who filed a lawsuit against Haven Brooks Homes, saying that not properly maintaining their properties was baked into their business plan, and pointed to the fact that the company boasts having similar returns on single family homes as apartment buildings. And normally, you know, profit margins on apartment buildings where you only have one roof, one boiler, it's just simpler to maintain, are usually much larger. To be squeezing out an equally large return at a single family homes, to that, Attorney General Ellison said that shows that they're not doing proper maintenance.
And this has been a trend we've been seeing for the past few months and years with some of these justice renters groups, including, as you said, United Renters for Justice. With these investor-owned properties in the Twin Cities, we've been seeing more and more of these over the past few years. And this really has been a trend where some of these renter advocacy groups are trying to make sure that these properties are generally maintained well, since oftentimes the accusations are with these investor-owned properties is that they're basically trying to do the bare minimum so they can maximize their profit.
That's right. You know, there's a lot of frustration among housing advocates and lawmakers on, hedge fund owned rental properties across the country. This is really considered a scourge on the rental market if you talk to housing advocates. And so, you know, one of the ways they're fighting back is through organizing, filing lawsuits, pressing for changes for the landlord to make the repairs that are necessary to make it inhabitable. Lawmakers are also considering various laws that could maybe restrict or disincentivize investor-backed landlords from coming or investors from coming in and buying rental property. There was a bill at the legislature this year that would levy an additional tax on single-family homes that are owner-occupied and sold to an investor. That didn't get very far, but it's something that people are looking at in a lot of different ways to see how to address.
And how has management been responding to some of these accusations that they're not maintaining these properties properly? What are they saying in response to these allegations?
So when I reached out for comment, I got put in touch with a New York-based public affairs professional, public affairs, public relations firm, and they say providing habitable, good properties is their top concern and top mission. As you noted at the top of the story, they have changed their management company recently from Haven Brooks to Progress Residential. but the company has not responded what Progress Residential's relationship to Havenbrook and the larger investor company called Pretium Capital, or Pretium Capital, that owns them. So what's the relationship between Progress Residential and Pretium Partners? What's the relationship between Progress Residential and Havenbrook Homes? It's something I'm still trying to figure out.
Yeah, largely it sounds like they haven't really given much of a response yet other than the typical, kind of corporate speak that you would usually get from these types of companies. So we'll have to wait and see, as we're certainly not going to see these types of issues go away as we see more of these types of hedge fund type properties pop up in the Twin Cities. You can read more about that over at MinnesotaReformer.com. Final story I'd like to talk to you about has to do with unionization at Starbucks stores in Minnesota, because we've already seen 3 stores in Minnesota unionize, but unfortunately there is a fourth store in Minneapolis that did not end up unionizing, which was the first defeat in Minnesota for the group Workers United, Minnesota to Workers United, the union organizing employees at hundreds of stores of Starbucks across the country. So workers at this store off Lyndale in Minneapolis, Max, said that Starbucks used some anti-union tactics when it came to this vote. What are some of the accusations that they're talking about?
So the worker that I talked to at Starbucks said that managers told them that they would lose benefits, or they could lose benefits, if they voted to unionize. They pointed to Starbucks has done some other things where they've promised raises to people at non-unionized stores, larger bonuses to workers at non-unionized stores rather than unionized stores. And they say, well, when you start negotiating your first contract as a union, everything's up for debate. So the education benefits, the health benefits, any of the benefits and wages that you have now, those are all up for debate when you start negotiating with a union. Now, that sounds scary to workers, but workers who are supportive of the union say, well, why would we ever agree to less than we have now? Why would we unionize, negotiate a contract with Starbucks, and come back with something that's less than they're giving everybody else? They say that that's ludicrous. We'd never do that. But they do say they think that's intimidation. They think that's threatening to say you're going to lose your benefits if you vote for a union. And so they filed a complaint with an unfair labor practices complaint with the National Labor Relations Board.
So as we talked about, this is part of a trend that we've been seeing, not just at Starbucks in Minnesota, but around the country. So what's next for some Minnesota stores? Because I understand that there are some others around the metro area that are looking to unionize, correct?
That's true. There's a few other stores that are about to vote on unionizing. So I'm watching those to see how those shake out. I expect we'll probably hear about some more petitions for union elections soon, and it's not just in the metro. The first store outside the metro recently filed a petition with the NLRB, the National Labor Relations Board, to hold a union election. That's in Rochester. So, you know, this wave of unionization effort at Starbucks, one store at a time across, you know, more than around 9,000 corporately managed stores, continues. It feels like we hear about a new store filing for a union election every day.
What I find interesting about this effort to unionize workers at these Starbucks stores is that Starbucks is typically known as a company that provides decent wages and has decent benefits, at least more so than other service sector employers. So I'm curious what their response has been so far about this unionization effort in Minnesota.
Yeah, you know, I put that to workers because Starbucks is known for being a good employer among service sector employers. And, you know, one thing that workers say I hear again and again is we want a voice. We want our voice to be heard. We want a seat at the table. And so workers aren't just concerned about wages and benefits, which you think of as the unions being a union's primary focus, is just getting better wages and benefits. They want a voice. They want to have a say in how stores are run and how they work and how they work on their job. So that's a big thing for them that I'm hearing. The other thing people will say is, look, Starbucks makes so much money. Look at their profits. If they are turning out this many profits, they have so much more that they can offer us, even if they're considered a generous company comparatively to others.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if more of these stores around Minnesota are going to end up unionizing as that push does continue. You can read more about that story and others over at MinnesotaReformer.com. We have been speaking with Max Nesterak. He is the deputy editor of The Reformer, and he reports on labor and housing. Make sure you go to MinnesotaReformer.com for the latest on all of those stories and in Minnesota news and politics, MinnesotaReformer.com. Max, thanks so much for joining me on the show today. Definitely appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, Brett.
All right, let's take a break and send things back over to Matt McNeil on AM 950.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. So I was mentioning Ely a little bit earlier. They got a little bit of a problem up in Ely. I don't know what's going on, but I got, all right. This is from Blue Stem Prairie, who, if you're not, once again, Blue Stem Prairie is fantastic. If you want to get coverage of rural Minnesota and South Dakota news, Blue Stem Prairie has got a lot of stuff that you just don't find anywhere else, and I really do appreciate them. They bring up apparently on Saturday, June 18th, the Ely Echo had a promo in the paper about an upcoming showing this Saturday, June 25th, at 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. at the Ely State Theater, where they're going, Dinesh D'Souza, is that how you say his name, Dinesh D'Souza, that clown that did 2,000 Mules?
Yes.
I wanted to understand, this guy is such a hack. Then Bill freaking Barr openly ripped on his theories in the testimony, the January 6th testimony, didn't he? Not liberal Matt McNeil. No, apparently liberal Bill Barr, which I don't technically think legally we can put those two words next to each other. I think that that's actually the FCC violation right there. My bad. Oopsie. Non-liberal Bill Barr. The movie is purporting to prove that 2022 election fraud existed. Many disagree, including the Washington Post, who wrote 2,000 Mules offers the least convincing election fraud theory yet. It's a laughing stock of a joke.
Among all the conspiracy theories, this one's among the least convincing.
Oh, this is, and I mean, he had a press conference at a landscaping company because they screwed up Four Seasons.
Oh, that
and
was
next to a porn shop. And I think wasn't it 2 days later he had the press conference where he leaked? God, this is the weirdest time, man. This is the weirdest time. The person that sent in this was curious about something else. He questioned related to the absence of the disclaimer for any of the candidates. Apparently, Republican-endorsed Minnesota House District 3A candidate Roger Scraba, nonpartisan St. Louis County Sheriff open seat candidate Chad Walsh, and Republican Secretary of State candidate Doug Wardlow are all going to be there for two showings of that movie in Ely. Having a hard time getting headlining gigs, Doug? You've been persona non grata by your party there. Wardlow is on the state Republican Party of Minnesota's bad list for challenging the endorsed candidate. They've gone after him. That's basically an interesting thing because, once again, the actually endorsed, or is it the endorsed? It is the endorsed. He is the House Republican candidate for 3A in Scraba, Skraba. Sounds like a northern Minnesota name, Scraba. He is the endorsed candidate. He has a primary challenger in Blaine Johnson. But yeah, so once again, this is the attorney general candidate who's going against the state's AG nomination, the GOP's AG nomination, up there with the actually endorsed 3A candidate, which I can't imagine is going over too well. Looking for more information about this, Blue Stem Prairie found a postcard mailed out to him about the showing. The political film 2,000 Mules will be shown at the State Theater, complete with guest speakers, including persons from law enforcement. And they got a glossy mailer that was there that was about that. Asked on Twitter, they did find out there was no disclaimer about who sent the postcard. We located the Minnesota statute that outlines when a disclaimer is required and contacted several staff members of the Minnesota Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board, but didn't expect to get a response today since it's a federal and state holiday. So this was yesterday. The next step was emailing Ely's Historic State Theater to see who was hosting the screening, which weren't listed on the schedule of the venue's website. The theater manager, Peter Schamber, emailed the reply. This is the reply from the theater back to Bluestem Prairie. The movie 2,000 Mules is being screened by a local organization who is renting the theater for their use. They are paying our standard hourly rental rate to use the space. They have secured the public performance license for the film of their own accord and are responsible for paying for those fees. The theater is not receiving any proceeds from the ticket sales behind the rental fee, and the primary goal of the organization renting the space is a break-even, not fundraise for the candidates. The event is a nonpartisan event and is legally required to be in order for a candidate for the sheriff's office, a nonpartisan office, to be in attendance. Now, I'm going to stop right there. This is the response. This is a nonpartisan event. It's a movie which is basically a piece of propaganda that would make the Nazis blush about fraudulent election, which did not happen, to benefit Trump and two of the people that are there are actually running for Republican positions. You can't just put the county sheriff's candidate out there, who, by the way, it's St. Louis County. You got Duluth. You're not going to win. I can already tell whoever this guy is, you're not going to win that county race. You're just not. There's just too many Democrats in that district that the guy that's out there with the 2,000 Mules film ain't going to win. But you can't just put the sheriff's candidate there and say there's nothing else political because this is all about the sheriff's candidate. No, the entire event is political. It absolutely is. So let me go back to this. So he's trying to make the argument, the theater manager is trying to make the argument, this is a nonpartisan event when the movie is partisan and two of the people that are being there are actual candidates for Republican things. He's trying to make the argument that the one guy that's there overrides them, and that's not how it works. It was pitched to us primarily as a meet and greet with the candidates, which once again, then it's nonpartisan, you don't need to worry about the non-discrimination policy. Because this group was willing to meet our own scheduling requirements, we agreed to it at the space of them. Not doing so would have been discriminatory, and we support an environment of diversity, equity, and inclusion, even if it means renting out space to groups whose beliefs may or may not align with those of the board, management, and the staff. This event itself is not reflective of the beliefs of the theater, but is solely representative of the organization renting our space. It is a political event. It does have an agenda, so it is partisan. It's not nonpartisan. And it's fine that you want to be like this, but just, you know, call it what it is. The Bluestem Prairie followed up asking the organization's name. He replied in two responses. I believe the official organization that is paying for the rental fees is Minnesota Conservative PAC North, but it's the local branch that is organizing the event. And the follow-up, and more specifically, I have been working with several local seasonal residents who has, as far as I know, been the only person involved in coordinating the event. He reached to several candidates at the event, and the list of candidates who have agreed to be president were simply the people that happened to be available on that date. The candidates did not proactively seek to host the event. So wait a minute here. Whatever. The Minnesota Conservative name seems to be similar. It wasn't to us. The Jim Neuberger's Political Action Committee, if not mistaken, according to the registration filings of the campaign finance public on the website, the Minnesota Conservative PAC, the Political Action Committee was established in 2020. Bluestem Prairie reported on the development in Minnesota politics in October 2020 and from the failed U.S. candidacy of Jim Neuberger. The disclaimer on the bottom of the PAC's webpage, prepared and paid for by MinCon PAC of Becker, Minnesota. That's right. He was from Becker, wasn't he? He indeed was. Yeah, I remember that. He got his butt kicked. They called that race in like 20 seconds after 8 o'clock that night, if I remember correctly. The financial summary indicates the PAC started the year with $798 on hand, took in $1,945 in receipts, and spent $1,351, has $1,391 in cash on hand at the end of May. Well, that's going to – how much does it cost to rent out a theater in Ely? Probably a bit. Are you going to have snacks? Are you going to have popcorn at least? Chad Walsh, sheriff candidate, is listed as a vendor of the June 2022 Question 122 reports. He was paid $500 in February 2022. We could have thought that information belonged to the total contribution of candidate committees category, but that might not be the case. So basically, Walsh has a relationship with this group, which definitely has political ties, even though he's in a non-political race. You have an event which is a political piece of propaganda. That's all it is. And you have Republicans showing up there. And even though you want to say only focus on this, the St. Louis County Sheriff's candidate, you can't ignore the Republican-endorsed candidate for 3A being there, as well as Wardlow is being there. You can't ignore that. Now, I will say this about the Ely Theater. You have the right to rent it out. I don't think that that's a problem. And I'm not saying the lack of information on the card is the fault of the theater. I don't think that that's the case at all. It's the people that coordinated this. They've got to put the information out there. But it was almost as if you were anticipating this and trying to work on excuses for why you allowed this. You have the right. You're a business owner. You're in a town like Ely. You've got an event center. Someone wants to rent it out where it doesn't affect the parameters of you showing whatever freaking Minions or Jurassic World or whatever you're going to show that weekend. More power to you. You can do that. But don't sit there and try to argue it's not a political meeting, because it is. I almost want to go up there for it. I almost want to go up there for it.
See 2000 Mules, the critically acclaimed movie? Yeah.
See Wardlow, man. see Doug Wardlow!
Oh, yeah. He's going to be up there, isn't he? Yeah.
That's not Blueberry Weekend in Ely, is it? It'll be packed in that town. I wonder if it is. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's take a break. Come back. I'm going to check to see if Blueberry Festival is this weekend up there. And then that town will have a lot of people in it, so this might be by design. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. A screaming comes a thousand miles. So the computer that runs the live stream, it crashed. Why again?
I was trying to see if the Ely event was listed on the 2000 Mules website. The second I went there, not even a split second, everything just freezes.
Did they take every dime out of your credit, your bank account?
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, someone needs to tell these guys it's not like 1998 where we need flash everywhere on the websites.
Blueberry Art Festival is actually July 29th through the 31st, so that's not up there. They're not violating that. I don't have a problem. We, of course, a longtime listener raising one brow. The theater, it's a shame for its airing this. I don't mind them. You want to know the truth is, I'm dead serious. I don't mind doing it. My problem is, don't be freaking delusional about it. Own it. And come on out and say, here's the deal. The Republicans, this Republican group, this right-leaning group has rented the theater this week. If the DFL wants to send a group on in with their movie or just to have a public speaking event, the place is open. Call us for rates and times available. And done! You're a private business. I don't have a problem with that. I don't really, but it's just, don't sit there like, this isn't partisan. Really? Oh, for goodness sakes. I don't think that if you had Hillary Clinton show up for a speaking event at the Ely Theater that you would be able to be knowing, why are you bringing here for partisan shit? Why? No, you wouldn't be able to pull that off. So.
Your show, a Michael Moore movie, that would probably be claimed as being too political.
Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? Just show the dinosaurs. Just show the dinosaurs. 9529. Show the Packer Sasquatch. that's the next big film franchise right there. Packer Sasquatch.
Coming to the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Fix special teams. Well, that's more Frankenstein, Packer fan. But you get the point. Yesterday I talked about this, and you talked about this with Max a little bit. Walz smartly going after the GOP and Jensen by saying, okay, fine, you don't want to have a special session? I'll tell you what, I want to bring Walz bucks back. I want to take that budget surplus, $2,000 for families, $1,000 for individuals. We can make that happen. We can put that surplus back into this. Let's give the people back their money, which is basically taking the Republican talking point and co-opting it for his own use, which really makes the Republicans mad because they don't really have an argument against it. Ellison, nicely done. He's come on out in the attack, and this is a nice one. I think this is the right way to go. The Attorney General Keith Ellison vowed Tuesday to legally defend travelers who come here to get an abortion and face prosecution in their own states for doing so. If the U.S. Supreme Court overturns Roe v. Wade, Minnesota will be prepared to serve and defend the influx of abortion patients who come from the states that outlaw the procedure. Ellison said during a news conference at the state capitol, Ellison, he will reject extradition requests and fight off other states in court if necessary. Very well done. Because now the Republican clown cars that are running against him, will you honor extradition requests? So if a pregnant woman is here to get an abortion, are you going to put her in cuffs, throw her in the pokey and have them get driven back to their own state? Is that what you're going to do? And I get the Republicans can't say no on that. No one here who travels from another state is going to seek an abortion that's legal in Minnesota is going to be prosecuted. I will directly intervene to stop such prosecutional events. It could become a legal issue in more than two dozen states, including South Dakota, if Roe v. Wade is overturned. The right in abortion will remain protected in Minnesota, even if the high court overturns the landmark case. I mean, you do already have Republicans in many states saying they are going to try to limit what states even if a person can leave a state to get possibly, you know, an abortion. They've already said this. And the Republicans do not want this election to be about Roe v. Wade. They don't, because they know the majority of people want it to be legal. They don't want to have to be the ones out there defending it being overturned. And so Ellison, smart play, man. And that's, by the way, getting out of the DFL wheelhouse. You know, get out there and fight. The rest of the DFL should be getting down that lane as well. Are you going to let people just get prosecuted? I don't think so. Native Roots Radio is up next. Be back in a few weeks. Till then, see ya.